Good to have visitors here tonight. May the Lord bless you for coming. The Bible said, "My son, thou will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and search for her as for a hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of the mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly." Now I want you to notice in verse 7, the Bible said God is sound wisdom to the righteous, to those who are saved and set apart for the work of God. The Bible said God will lay up sound wisdom for that person. Now, if you've been saved quite a few years and your life is still in a turmoil, now, there's something wrong. You need to look here and just read over and over in the book of Proverbs and see what God said, because He said He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. In other words, and there's decisions in our life that we must make, and for our families and for our children and for ourselves, and how we're going to do and what we're going to do and how we're going to provide and how we're going to serve God and live for God. There's a lot of decision. But the Bible said He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He said, I'll keep you straight that walk uprightly. Because the Bible said He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of His saints. My text tonight is, He preserveth the way of His saints. He preserveth the way of His saints. Now, read the next two verses with me. "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." When? When you find out that God preserveth the way of the saints. "When wisdom entereth into thine ear, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." This is it. "Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." Now, this word discretion here, I asked my wife a couple of days ago if she'd looked the word up for me, and it said prudence or knowledge and prudence. It's a discernment which enables a person to judge what is correct and proper, united with caution. You better listen to that again. I said it's knowledge and discernment that enables a person which is to judge what is correct and what is right, and it's united with caution. In other words, every decision that you make in the light of the Word of God, you do it with a caution, being very cautious. "Lord, I want to do Thy will. I want to make this decision in the light of eternity. Lord God, I want Thy will for my life and my family." God said this is discretion. But also the second thing about discretion is liberty or power of acting without another's control. Discretion is acting when you make a power of acting without somebody else controlling you. What is brother so-and-so going to think about this? What is doctor so-and-so going to think? You better wonder about what God's going to think about it. I mean, the Bible didn't say brother so-and-so preserveth the way of the saints. The Bible said the Lord preserveth the way of His saints. Now, God has preserved. Now, there's no backing around it tonight. We look in our Bible, and God has preserved a nation called Israel. You say, "Brother Jack, is God able to keep us?" The Bible said we're kept by the power of God. The Bible teaches us in the 17th chapter of the book of John that man is kept by the prayer of Christ.
Listen to me. Only way a child of God could ever get away from the Lord is for God to not answer the prayer of Christ. If you're not living for God tonight, you're deliberately trying to get away from Him. Because the Lord preserveth the way of His saints. I'm going to say tonight again, He preserved Israel as a nation. The terrorists said, we'll kill them all. 300 men have dedicated themselves to totally destroy the Jew. They'll wind up just like Adolf Hitler did. Amen. Them Jews are not saved. Them Jews are not going to heaven. But God just told you in His Bible, just leave them alone. Just leave them alone. How many Jews you ever see digging a ditch? Huh? How many Jews you ever see digging a ditch? None. None. You know why? He didn't have time to dig that ditch. He's counting your money. That's right. I mean, God just said He'd bless them. And He has. Amen. He has. They're a nation. There's a nation tonight. And Hitler said, I'll destroy the Jews. And all Hitler ever destroyed was the German nation. And tonight she's divided on one side under communism and the other side, a small country. And them Jews are still just waving a flag and going on. Had a wall there one time here a few years back. I believe it was in 67. Had a big wall over there in New York City. The Jews sat down and said, we'll raise $100 million today. They said it took them 20 minutes to raise it in one office building up in New York City. Raised $100 million just to buy what they wanted to buy for ammunition. Amen? All right. God's preserved the nation of Israel. There's never been another nation that has lived this long and exists that long. And the flag is still waving, except this country's 200 years old. But Israel is thousands of years old, and the flag is still waving. God preserved Israel. The Bible said the God of Israel would never sleep, nor never slumber. God told you and I to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Amen? Amen. Somebody needs to pray for it. They're always in trouble. But anyway, God has preserved Israel. And then I want to say tonight that God has preserved this Bible. God's preserved this Bible. And we've had every modernistic, antagonistic, atheistic, and what have you, and communistic to attack the Bible. We've had everybody, even some of the fundamentalists, amen, have attacked the Bible. But yet the Bible stands true tonight, preserved by God. God said in the 12th chapter of Psalms that He'd preserve His Word. He's done just exactly that. Preserved Israel. And He preserved the Jew. And I want to say tonight that God has preserved His own children for the last 2,000 years since Calvary. There's always been a group of God's people around. And I don't care where they're at, what kind of trouble they got in. God always preserved a remnant of His people. Always had. And I want to say tonight that God's also preserved the church of Jesus Christ. I know everything that runs around calls itself a church is not a church. I realize that tonight, but there's still that remnant, still that seed. There's still that group of believers. There's still some of God's people. God has preserved the church for some 2,000 years. God has made sure that there was a church to give witness and testimony of the grace of God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. And I like that tonight. I want to say that again and again. If you have your Bible, just a moment, in the book of Jude, I was reading that in the book of Jude in the first verse. And here's what it says in verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Christ Jesus and called. He didn't know. God said He preserved the way of the saints. Preserved the way of the saints. And He said right here in the book of Jude in the New Testament, He said, we're sanctified and preserved and called by God. Thank God tonight for being preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. That's wonderful. But I want to go back tonight. I want to talk to you a little bit. God would help us tonight, help our church tonight, help some individuals here tonight about this business of discretion. Discretion is a knowledge and a discernment which enables a person to judge what is correct and proper. Do what, preacher? United with caution. What is right and what is proper? Now, sometimes we do is not proper. We get saved and we get maybe overzealous and some things that we do is not proper. Sometimes I believe maybe God blesses our ignorance and sometimes we get persecuted And we come back to the church and we think people have been ugly with us and all we've done has been ugly ourselves. And God sent us back. You said, preacher, they really abused me for Jesus' sake on the job. It might have been for ignorance' sake. It might have been for ignorance' sake. Amen. But I want you to notice the Lord preserveth the way of the righteous. And then he said in verse 11, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. Now God said he saved his people, and he preserved the way of his saints, but he said he done it by discretion. Discretion. Now it's really strange. Now you got your Bible. Look there in Psalms 112. Run back over just a few verses over in Psalms 112 in verse 5 and 6. It said, a good man showeth favor and lendeth, and he shall guide his affairs with discretion. Are you at page 112? Psalms 112 verse 5. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. It didn't say a good man showeth favor and borrows. Would you mind letting that soak in just a little bit? A preacher friend of mine moved into a town in Cleveland, Tennessee, and he went into a filling station, and he said, he got talking to the man, he said, are you saved? He said, nope, and I don't want to be. But he said, I'll tell you what I'll do, preacher. He said, when you get about 25 of these so-called Christians around this town to pay their gas bill, he said, I will consider being a Christian. Now, we live in a society. We live in a society. Amen, amen, amen. Now, would you please buckle your seatbelt and don't get mad? Would you do that? Amen. Some of y'all live by that thing right there. You said, preacher, what do you use that for? To catch an airplane with and ride a car with. Amen. I get some distant town or one of Leroy Dalrymple will come by, Victor Alvarez the other day, I put him on an airplane with it. Amen. You said, how do you, preacher, do you have any problem with that? None whatsoever. Because I waited 30 years before I ever got one. It'd probably be very wise for you tonight. Very wise for you tonight. I'll loan you my pocket knife. It'd probably be the wisest thing for your home and for your life tonight. If you've got one of those things and you don't know how to handle it, the best thing to do is cut it in two. I said the wisest thing you do tonight is cut it in two. It'll be a blessing to your family, your children, your peace, your home, your life, your testimony, everything you got. The Bible said God preserveth his people. How? By discretion. If you can't handle it, leave it alone. You said, preacher, how do you have? Well, probably when I was your age, I couldn't have. Amen. But being in the produce business, my dad, and handled $1 jillion in my lifetime, I never had any trouble handling money. But the Bible teaches us here, it said, a good man showeth favor, and he lendeth, and he shall guide his affairs, his life, his work, his home, everything, his church, everything, with discretion, with discernment, with knowledge how to do it. Amen? You know you're all quieting up on me. I ain't going to quit. We're living in a craziest mixed up society I've ever seen in my life. Amen? You know, I can remember, some men sitting right here tonight can remember, back in the 30s, things got rough and everything. People just went in. They turned off their lights and they turned off their gas and nobody, it didn't bother nobody at all. That just happened and they did. And I remember out in West End, people bringing in before they had shelter for pecans and people sitting in their backyard picking out pecans and they was getting about 50 or 60 cents a pound on this. And women were sitting out there picking out pecans and making money and had all the children out there and everybody was picking out pecans. I mean, it was just nearly every family was in the pecan picking business. Nowadays, you can't get these lazy suckers to pick one up. I mean, fellas said the other day, said, we got thousands of pounds of pecans in the field, and nobody would even pick them up on the heads. They're not worth but a dollar a pound. You know, they said, ain't nothing to pick up 40, 50 pounds a day. Said, you got to tell. And said, yeah, you know, man, make him a pretty good day. Amen, preacher. I said, you'll run your house with discretion. Discretion.
You ought to conduct your life with discretion. Amen? Discretion is just knowledge. I mean, it's just proper knowledge. Amen? Amen. I believe I'm going to enjoy preaching this tonight. I can really feel it coming on. Amen? I mean, the Bible said here, a good man showeth favor. A good man lendeth. A good man guides his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. His righteousness shall be an everlasting remembrance. I mean, a good man, when he's down gone, everybody say, boy, isn't it a blessing to remember him? Do you remember people in a community who said, please don't mention his name? Honestly, there was a family lived in Cottage Grove, and their name was Gay. Nobody would, if anybody had that name now, they'd change it. But their name was really Gay. That was their name. And the Gay family lived right down the street from us and had about 8 or 9 kids. And that old man was so lazy that the lice crawled off of him. They thought he was dead. And he'd wait back in the 30s. He'd wait till that cotton bloomed out there in West Texas. He'd load up all them kids. He'd take 4 or 5 old tires, tie them on the back. And I never will forget old man Gay. He'd tie them tires on the back of that car. Had 3 or 4 boys and 5 or 6 girls. And he'd give my mother one of them boys. He give my mother one of them boys because that boy couldn't pick cotton. And he'd take them kids out there every year and he'd pull cotton out there, he'd pull a bowl of cotton by hand, and he'd come back, Brother Bobby, with enough money to make it through the winter. And I asked the kids, I said, what does he do while y'all picking cotton? They said, he lay under a shade tree and rest. We got a lot of resting nowadays. But you know what we think we're going to do? We think we're going to wait till these boys get about 18, 19 years old. And we're going to call them out there and say, now, son, you know it's time for you to go to work. And he goes, sir, are you kidding? You got to be joking, ain't you? You mean, I mean, I'm a professional educationist, man. I've been going to high school. I've been to college 4 years. And you think I'm going to go to work? You got to be kidding, man. Hey, old man, you're the one supposed to work. Keep it up. Won't you get you 2 jobs where you can keep me up? Amen. I said, I'm going to enjoy this tonight. The Bible said, surely he shall not be moved. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed. He trusteth in the Lord. You get it tonight? You get it tonight? Now, discretion. Could I give you something tonight? Discretion. Don't get away from that word tonight. Don't get away from this word. Discretion. With discretion, living for God, being preserved in the Lord, walking with God, growing in the Lord. Can you remember this tonight? You cannot use your imagination. You know what Christians are doing? They're using their imagination. Not the Word of God, but they're using their imagination. They imagine themselves behind a pulpit. They imagine themselves leading a singing. They imagine themselves accomplished. You don't imagine nothing. You use knowledge and discretion and discipline and hard work and get after it. And some of you sitting right here tonight, 2 or 3 years from now, your homes will be gone, your life will be gone, your testimony will be gone, because January of 1886, you didn't hear what I had to say. Discretion. Discretion. You can't use your imagination. You imagine you're called to preach. You imagine you're a preacher. You imagine you're a missionary. You imagine you're going to do something. Just imagination. And it's running away from you. You know what you're doing? You're just like when you was a little kid. I asked Brother Bubba Key one time. Bubba had a brother-in-law. His name was Joe Dyer. Joe Dyer is on the streets today. He's a hoodlum. Always has been. Joe's done a lot of time. But Joe and I have been friends forever. Joe's about that tall. About that wide. And I asked his brother-in-law one time, I said, what in the world's the matter with Joe? And he said, he still thinks we're living in Jesse James' day. He said, he just steal cops and robbers, shoot them up, Tony, you know? You hear what I'm saying? I said to a fellow the other day, and Brother Brad, you was with me. I said to two old ex-convicts were sitting in the room, old men. And I said to him, I said, I was just with Willie Crosby in a revival meeting. And they said, whoa, one of them didn't. He kind of shook his head, and I could see him going back in his memory 30-something years ago. And he said, you know, he always thought he was the Dalton boys or somebody. You know, he could remember him running around shooting at people with them pistols. You know what he was? He still just, he really thought that in his mind. He'd seen that in the movies. But some people come into church, and they get in the movie.
And they get them a little idea. This is what I'm going to be. That's guys that graduate from Tennessee Temple's College, and they leave there and they think they're going to be Lee Robinson. They're never going to be Lee Robinson. They need to give them a job as a janitor. They're never going to be Lee Robinson. You don't be that. You never be one Jack Houser or one Lee Robinson. Amen, preacher? I mean, you cannot use your imagination, and you cannot use imitation. Are you listening tonight? Discretion, you cannot use imitation. You cannot imitate nobody else. You cannot be nobody else. You've got to be yourself and let God work in your mind and your heart and your life and let God make whatever God wants to make out of you. You cannot use imitation. This Bible said, be you followers of Christ. And I know every Bible, Schofield and all in God, they said you're not to imitate Christ. You're to never imitate Christ. I don't care what they say. That doesn't say that. That says follow Christ. It doesn't say imitate Christ. You're not to be an imitator. You're not to be an imitator. You're to be filled with the knowledge of God. You're to be filled with the discernment of God. And the Bible said you'll be a blessed man. You'll be a blessed woman. And I'm telling you, it's becoming history with you. I told Brad, he's working on four sermons on four kings that were total losers. He's been working on them nearly a month and a half now. I said, get them things worked up, Brad. He's got all kinds. He's got bushels of material from 2,000 years ago out of history books on it. Four kings in the Bible that were total losers. Why were they losers? Had no knowledge. Had no discernment. Every time they acted, they never did act with caution. That man cut John the Baptist's head off with no caution in it. A woman asked him to do it, put some pressure on him. He did what she wanted to do. Young people, you listen to me. You'll do the same thing. You'll get the pressure of the school. You'll get the pressure of where you're going to school. You'll get the pressure of other people. And because of that pressure, you'll do some things you've got no business doing. Amen. You can't use imitation, and I'm going to say this tonight, and you better, God help you to listen, you cannot use location. A lot of people say, well, if I was just located somewhere else, all of my problems would be solved. If I was somewhere else, if I could just get somewhere else, if I could just get somewhere else, God would solve my problem. God will solve your problem right here, or it'll never be solved. Yes, sir. You get your problem solved right here. I mean, Brian Stevens come here. He got some of his problems solved. I'm going to just tell you tonight, Brother Brian, you just excuse me. I had three preachers walk up in the same meeting. I invited Brian Stevens to come here, move his family here. And they said, preacher, you're wasting your time. The Holy Ghost spoke to me, said, you get that boy in Houston, and I'll do something for him. And God got him to Houston, and I was just sitting here last night amazed at what God has done. Bryce, you can't blame people for giving up. I'm going to tell you something. Some of y'all sitting right in front of me, people done gave up on you. They done gave up. Location. You said, preacher, if I could just move, if I could just be somewhere else, I believe it would all be all right. I said to a man the other day, I said, son, you better get your horses lined up. He said, I'm not acting under the pressure. Nobody, I don't give a flip what that church says. I said, you better be careful, son. You're talking about the Lord's bride now. Location. Amen. Did you ever notice people when they get backslid on God? I don't give a flip what they say. I know what the Lord has called me to do. Oh, no. And you can never use insinuations. People come to you and insinuate things and tell you things and insinuate you ought to do it. A lot of preachers come down this aisle. People come down this aisle. They say, the Lord called me to do this, the Lord wants me to do it, because people kept insinuating to them they should do it. I'll tell you one thing, Dan. Them insinuations be gone by the year on them streets. I guarantee you them insinuations are gone, Dan, after you eat that cornmeal mush about a month and a half straight. Them insinuations gone, amen? All right, now let's get right down to the, let's get in chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs and look in verse 13. Look in verse 13. The Bible said, take fast hold of instructions. And let her not go. Keep her. For she is thy life. You say, preacher, why do you get up here and instruct us and tell us how to live? Take hold of instructions and let her not go. Keep her. For she is thy life. I'm talking about discretion. And when God gives you that discretion and God gives you instruction and God enables you to properly look at them and very cautiously look at those instructions that you've got,
Look at them, look at them, look at them. And when you get through looking at them, act on it. And act one time on it.
One time. I said something a while ago. Say it again. I was talking to Brother Gary Shiptag this week, and he said he went over here to a big church across town, and they had a finance, a seminar on how to help people in the church on their finances. And they said, everybody reach in your billfold, please. Get your courtesy card out. And then they passed the scissors around. They said, this is the first step. And then the next step is give you 8 job applicants to better yourself. Now, I don't understand, folks. God knows my heart. There's men in this church and women in this church just keep complaining to me about your job. Why don't you go tell God about your job? And why don't you pray about your job? And why don't you go around and look for a better one? I mean, if that one ain't no good, I mean, it don't make any sense to me. I mean, just keep saying, I don't like this, and I don't like this, and I don't like this. I mean, just pray about it, ask God about it, and find you another. Just that simple, isn't it? It is just that simple, isn't it? I mean, I believe that is with discretion. I mean, there is no use to sit around and talk yourself in despondency and become discouraged with what you're doing and discouraged where you're at and discourage yourself from away from God. I had a little flare with my heart years ago, and I told my dad, I said, I believe I'm going to die. He said, go ahead and die. I wasn't about 40 years old. He said, go ahead and die. He said, you done live 3 lifetimes. He just sitting there laughing. I said, hey, this thing ain't funny. I was in the hospital. He said, you ain't never done nothing in your life you didn't want to do. He said, you've done everything all of your life what you wanted to do. He said, Jack, you've done live 3 lifetimes. Go on and die. He said, well, what's there to worry about? He said, most people wait till they retire. And he said, but God, you've done just exactly what you wanted to. The Bible said instructions is your life. If you'll take these instructions tonight, they'll help you. Young lady, they'll help you home. Young man, they'll help your life. If you'll take these instructions tonight. Instructions is your life. Amen? God said a wise man, a faithful man, a good man, live. He don't borrow at 18%. He lends. You know why them Jews are always like they are? They've read the Old Testament. You don't believe that? Yeah. It used to be 2 Jews on the market. They had a push cart down on Preston Avenue. I was a kid. And one pushed it and the other pulled it. I mean, he's hooked up just like a mule. And my daddy said, why don't you buy your horse? He said, we have to feed it. He pulled it himself. Daddy said, well, if you had a horse, and he said, where would I keep him? I'd have to pay somebody $1 a night to feed him, and $1 a night to keep him. He said, I'd just take this wagon home, sell everything, drop it down, sack up what we got, carry it inside, and eat that for supper. Get him a produce business. Used to be a little Jew sitting right across the street from Standard Shoe Store. His name was Willie. Wasn't that tall? He'd come down every morning. He'd say, Jack, bring me 3 bushels of peaches. I'd put 3 bushels of peaches, the biggest, prettiest ones you could find. Come right down, set them on the corner. He'd get out there and he'd stand on the corner. Had a big gold watch chain, had him a suit on. You thought Willie was somebody. He was a full-blooded Jew from Israel. He sat there and he sold them peaches for a dime a piece, about 150 peaches. That's $15 a bushel. He paid 3.5 for them. When the day was over, he made about $35. That's been 35 years ago. I said, Willie, how did you get by that woman in the cafe? He said, I tell her that everybody comes to buy my peaches, she lets me do it free. And he said, I always buy at least 2 cups of coffee a day. That was a dime. And I think he traded her a peach for that. A little bit different. A little bit different. Amen. Discretion. Now, let me use something else. Use instructions. Use investigation. Investigate your life. Investigate the life of the Jew. Investigate the Bible. Investigate their life and find out how did it happen. It didn't just happen. They weren't just lucky. Use investigation.
Use inspiration. Use inspiration. When God inspires you to do something, I'm not talking about divine, I'm talking about the inspiration of other people. I'm talking about the inspiration of the Word of God, when God speaks to you through the Word of God. When God speaks to you through a song, when God speaks to you through a message, when God speaks to your heart about something, do it. I'm going to tell you something. You can prepare your life to wind up just like old man Gay. And I can remember my aunt one day sitting at the table. And she said, "Daddy, you know the Gays are getting ready." He said, "My granddad was a drunkard. He died that way, lost man." He said, "Emily, don't never mention them people's name again at my table." He said, "They're too lazy to work. They're too fired to pay their bills." He said, "Don't mention their name again." And the average church is full of the Gays. Too lazy to work. Amen? You might as well just look me right there. My God-given eyeball. Actually, you are a liability. I mean, the Bible said a good man lendeth. There comes times in your life when somebody needs to lend you. There comes times when you have a hard time. But I'm talking about a hard case of it for 10 years. Now, everybody wave your hand now and holler hallelujah. Amen? Now, praise God. I mean, you know, hallelujah. You know, this thing really does bother me. I remember Billy Joe White and his daughter started to go to college. And she started to go to college. She got on the bus that night and said to Brother Lackey, he said, "How much are you going to cost me for the first year?" He said, $1,100. I'll be $15. Brother Lackey told me out of his own mouth that she handed him $1,115 cash. Her daddy didn't give it to her. She had worked that summer and saved that money up and paid her bill in advance. And she went up there to school. She got her a job. Kim, she went up there to school and she got her a job. Isn't it strange that these girls know that? 17, 18-year-old girls, they're working, they got a job. They're coming home, they're buying their clothes. And we got us a bunch of lazy bums calling them sons. I don't know what God calls them. I'll tell you what you do. You just keep raising that way, and the convict boss will teach them how to work. Amen? He'll teach them how to work. Amen. Thank you, Brother Wood. Amen? Use inspiration. And I'd like to say something. My mother used this word a lot in my life, and that's intuition. You know, there's some things that God just seemed like He instilled it in a man and woman. You just got an intuition. You just know that ain't right, and this is right. It just sometimes, Brother Bobby, it's just some things that are just naturally right. And they're just naturally wrong. No! Use that intuition. And then let me say something else, please. We're still with a word called discretion. And the Bible said the Lord preserveth the way of His saints. God wants to preserve your way. God wants to preserve your way. And the road's getting a little rocky on you now. I mean, the water's getting a little troubled now. He said, "I want to put you in every good path," and your feet begin to roam out of the path now. He said, "Discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee." Tonight, God said, if it don't come from discretion and understanding in your life, you're not going to be here long. I said, God said you wasn't going to be here. And I'll tell you something. We don't need to lose anybody out of this church. I don't see one family go down the tube. And you know, I used to say when I was young, just there it is out there. But I'm going to say something, folks. It's cold out there. It's cold out there away from God and away from the church, away from God's people. No. I'm not telling you that at all. I take that back 100 times. I took that back. But you need to use some good intentions. And tonight when I get through preaching, you'll come down this altar and you'll get on your knees and you'll have intention. You say, "I'm going to get it." And Brother Wood said that I need some discretion in my life and God wants to preserve my way. And you'll rededicate your life and say, "Lord, this is what I'm going to do." And you've got good intention. But you walk out that door, them intentions don't get very far. But them intentions got to get out there in the morning at 7 o'clock and you get up and go to work. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Intention. An intention is something that's on the end. And you tend to do it. If you tend to do it, go ahead and do it. If it's inside. But if it's just up here, it won't ever get out. It won't ever be an intention. But I mean, if you intend to live for God, if you intend to serve God, if you intend to stay a member of Shady Eagle Baptist Church, if you intend to walk with God, you intend God to use you and have the breath of God on your life and the power of God and want God to preserve your way, you better do something with them intentions. Because intentions are not enough just within themselves. But once a man has a divine intention, and I mean, Brother Bobby, it's a godly intention. I want to serve the Lord. And bless God, I want to dedicate my life. And I want my home to run right. And I want my finances to be right. And I want my family to be right. And I want my children to be right. And Brother Wood, I intended to come to church last Sunday, but I just didn't break it. No, that's not enough. I'm not talking about that kind of intention. I'm talking about an intention down in the soul that the Spirit of God has showed you something and you say, I'm going to do it. And that discipline comes in that life, and it disciplines that intention. And that intention becomes more than an intention. It becomes an invention. Amen. Let me give you another one, please. Discretion. First, there's instruction. Next, there's investigation. You need to investigate your life. Next, there's inspiration. Next, there's intuition. Next, there's intention. But then there's the last one I want you to notice, and that's inspection. You need to inspect your life tonight. Every one of us. That's the reason we fast. That's the reason we pray. We just get up and we fast and we pray and say, Lord, if there be any ungodly way in me, Lord, if there be any iniquity in my heart, Lord, search me and know my heart. God, search me and know my way. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I'm going to tell you something tonight. God, help us. I can, you know, my dad's not here tonight. I wouldn't dare tell it if he was here tonight. But I never forget. We sat on the front porch one time. I was a little boy. I've never told this in my life to nobody. I sat on our front porch one time. I was just a little boy. And I seen a kid coming walking up the street. And he'd come from up around Jacksonville, Texas, somewhere. And my daddy had bought $7 worth of produce off of that man. And my dad come into Houston, and $7 worth of them, they were probably 15 bushel of peaches. Way back in the 30s. And they poured them peaches on a little old Mile Lake Ford truck. He'd come here and sold them and didn't do no good with them. And didn't have the money. And I never will forget that boy walking up, and he's standing there and didn't have no shoes on, couldn't have been 16 years old. He said, Mister, my daddy's sick home. And he said, you owed him $7. And I seen Papa reach down his pocket and had $4,000. Every dollar he had in the world. Wasn't nothing. He done jacked the trailer up and sold the tire. He took that last $4. He said, son, I tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna send you the other $3. He said, you go home, you tell your old daddy, I'm gonna send you that other $3. I'm going to tell you, as a boy, God cut something down into my heart. Here's an old man, just ain't going to beat you. I mean, he just raised us that way. I'm telling you, he just ain't going to owe you. I ain't going to beat you. I don't want to owe you nothing. That thing just $4,000. And I'm going to tell you something, honey, 1935, 1936, $4 was a whole lot of money. It was a whole lot of money. And I've seen that old man take everything he got. So here it is, boy. I'm going to pay. But nowadays, we go down to the store and know we can't pay it. We use electricity, we know we can't pay it. We use gas, we know we can't pay it. Just go ahead and use it anyway. Turn it on, bless God. It belongs to you, some light and power. They don't. Thought you were saved. You sound like this message. The Father does. He really appreciates it. He wants his children to walk right. And I'm telling you, a good man lendeth. A good man is not a waster. A good man don't come down to church and give everything he's got away. You listening? Brother Bob Cox sitting up here on the front. Has he borrowed anything from anybody in this church? Ever? Has Brad Toll borrowed anything from anybody in here? Miss Woods, would you mind telling me how much Brother Brad's light bill was last month? $29. See, the church pays his light bill. But we just had two men left here. Their light bill was $357. And I called them in office and I said, that's all, boys, we're not paying it. Ain't paying it. I asked Brother Brad for Christmas. I said, Brother Brad, you all right? Everything all right? Gets $150 a week here. He's associate pastor. And he lives.
Amen.
But you can't. Get a stunt, Bob. I'm going to tell you something about God. God will give you the faith to take care of your bills if you'll accept the instructions to bring your life down to where it's supposed to be. When you got you a champagne appetite and a beer billfold, you're in trouble, honey. You say, that's a bad illustration, but you got it. And you got the price of a Coca-Cola, honey. Ain't no use talking about champagne. And what some of y'all are doing, just wandering through these stores. You say, I wish you hadn't preached this right after Christmas. And you're wandering through them stores, and you're spending money that you ain't got. You're spending money that you ain't never going to have. And you're going to give somebody a present, and you owe the other person for it, and you're going to pay 18 and 20% interest on it while you wait till you get it. My wife always had a little time when she was a young lady. She always had time. She always had problem with that money. And so we've been saved about 20 years, and then we opened up an account, Miss and Mr. Jack Wood, after 20 years. You say, why didn't y'all do it before that? I'll tell you one thing. It's just kind of hard to make that money that time. And she never did do it, but we never had nothing to do it with. But, you know, I go down and fold it. I just walk in there once in a while. And I just see people walking down. They ain't looking for nothing but them. They just look and see if there is anything in there they happen might want. And I just imagine some nut. He's down at Moser Steel, and he got him a grinder. And I go, and he's shaking his brain. And this yo-yo weighing about 240, she's down there checking everything out down at Polish. You have literally got to be out of your mind. Yeah. Somebody said, Lord, help us. Boy, I like this message now. I'm telling you, I like it. Bible said, the Lord preserveth the way of his saints. Yea, he giveth every good plan. Wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will become pleasant to your soul. Let me ask you a question tonight. How would you like for it to just be pleasant down at your house? I'm going to tell you something tonight. It can't be pleasant when you owe everybody in town. You can sweep all the liquor out of your house. You can clean your house up clean as you want to. But long as you owe everybody in town, it can't be pleasant. Because there's a little dark cloud hanging over. And here's what the problem is in this church. We got Henry Jordy here. He makes $8 an hour. Got this man, he makes $10 an hour. This man makes $12 an hour. And this man makes $20 an hour. So we got four men. And so we just say, for instance, this man's wife said, I want to live just like his wife. And his wife said, I want to live just like his wife. And his wife said, I want to live just like his wife. So we're going to all four live just like. But we're not communists. And if he just makes $7 an hour, you'll have to live on the $7. And if he makes $18 an hour, you can't spend $22 an hour, darling. He's not like you. Sure, it's a good thing. I'll tell you what, it'll bring some pleasant time down at your home. I mean, there'll be some pleasant time. Just go in that house and sit down and eat what you can afford. And live just exactly what you can afford. And no more. This house is just right here, one block from us, costs $350,000. And there's not one person here that'll ever own one of them, so forget it. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you go over there and knock on every door over there, you'll find the most miserable people in the world. Half of them can't pay their bills. I hope you understand this, and I hope you get this message. You live in your own means. God blesses some people. They're financially able. You do anything you want to. You made it. It's yours. You spend it like God wants you to or like you want to. Do anything you please. But if you ain't got nothing, for God's sake, don't try to live like nobody else. Let's pray. God fix us in 86. Some of you ladies, you've married men. God's called those men to preach, and you know that. You know that these men are independent Baptist preachers, and nobody pays their salaries, and they're going to the mission field, and you can't live like other people. You get to the foreign field, you can't even live like other missionaries. Missionary been on the field 10 years or 15 years, and people begin to help him, and people begin to give to him and help him a little bit. And don't try to live like them. You just look at what you got and make your life around that and live, and God will give you a pleasant life. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ in a full pardon of sin, you won't know what I'm talking about. But the Bible said the Lord preserveth the way of the saints. And God will make your way tonight. If you'll get in this altar and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, I'm not going to spend what I have in God. I'm not going to take a man and drive him until I drive him mad, just spending everything and him working two or three jobs trying to pay it. I ain't going to do it, Lord. I ain't going to do it. Act like a Christian. God bless your heart. Act like a Christian. God will help you. I've worked on this message for weeks now. God spoke this thing. I tried to preach last night. God wouldn't let me. He wanted tonight. Tonight. You've got to live in your means. There's many times when a woman just don't know how to handle that checkbook, and a man's got to help her. And many times it's vice versa. Many times it's men, and a woman has got some wisdom about it, and she can help, and you can work your problems out. Lord, God help you to have sense enough. If you've got a husband that don't know how to handle it, man, get that woman to pray and help you. If it's the other way around, man, for God's sake, you wouldn't give a 9-year-old child $200 and let him go to town and buy bubble gum with it. Don't let her do the same thing and not pay the bills. Have a Christian testimony. Let's be Christians tonight. Maybe you need to come to the altar. Maybe you need to just get that thing before God. You say, preacher, that's rough tonight. I know it is, but it's the truth. And it'll help you. It'll be a blessing to you. Our Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord God, just a little hard work and solve a lot of our problems tonight. And I pray in Jesus' name that you'll help each and every one that's here. I pray this message will be a help. Lord, I believe it'll drive them to understanding and discretion and the paths of the Lord, the understanding of God. God preserveth the way of the saint. Help us to realize that and know it. Believe it in the Bible. The Word of God will preserve us. The church will preserve us. Help us to believe that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all sing. You know, tonight when I started this message, did you remember me saying that discretion is a power of acting without another's control? You know, many times in America, we want just what the Joneses has got. If they've got two cars, if they've got an air condition, whatever you can afford, you can have it. But what you can't afford, God would not have you to have it. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever you can't afford, God don't want you to have it. So all you have to do is just pray as a child of God and say, Lord, are you giving me that? You want me to have it? I never will forget my wife and I. Man, I'm telling you, it's sleeping me like a horse, you know. And I get up and walk around the bed at night. My wife said, I wish we had a king-size bed. We first came to this church. This church paid us $200 a week when we needed it or didn't need it. And I never will forget praying about that bed. Miss Sides called me one night. And she said, man, I got a king-size bed. And said, we're fixing to move into the trailer and we can't take it. Do you know anybody needs it? I said, yes, ma'am, I sure do.
Amen.
I really know somebody needs that king-size bed. I'm telling you the truth. That's the greatest blessing ever happened to me in my life. And years later, man, that's been years ago. And years later, My wife said that bed just kept falling down. I fixed them legs back out, and I put bricks under it and popped it up and everything. And Wyoming just had a wonderful bed. And I was proud of it. Had six bricks under it, but I mean, it wasn't going to fall. Amen. So I had them 6 to 8 bricks underneath that bed, and legs done fell out underneath that thing. And I said, well, man. And so man called me and said, my wife and I, we prayed about that thing. And man called me and said, I'm sending you a new king-size bed. Boy, I woke up in that bed the other day, and I didn't know where I was at. I looked around, and I said, man, I'm a long way from Cottage Grove. Yeah. Amen. I mean, man, whatever God wants, amen, whatever God gives you, it doesn't make me no difference what God gives me. Don't embarrass me a bit in the world. Amen. Whatever God wants, where'd you get the right to take that which belongs to somebody else? Some people even take that which belongs to God. Amen. Amen. And if you get careless and take what belongs to somebody else, before you know it, you take God. Amen. Amen. Ain't the Lord wonderful?
Yes, sir.
Boy, ain't you glad you came tonight?
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot in this Bible. There's a lot in this Bible to show you some things. Amen. Let's take our Bible and close our eyes, bow our head. If you're not saved tonight, you need to come to the Lord Jesus and be saved. You need to give Him your heart and your life. Preacher's got to get up on Wednesday night and instruct the saints and warn them and tell them. Boy, we live in a fast lane today. We live in a fast lane. People play fast with other people's money and other people's things. Have no caution about using other people's stuff. And I want to tell you tonight, God's people need to be real careful. Need to be real careful. Need to travel real caution. That's real discretion. Really ask God what's proper for you. You need to go home and pray, and I couldn't tell you. But you could go home and pray, and you might be a person that can just take a courtesy card and you have no problem with it, and it's a blessing to your life. You might have one that might be a curse on your family. If I did not, I'd go home and cut the sucker up. I'd cut it up and pay it off. Thank God for it. Get me a job and work till it did. But God's people can't be owing people, borrowing off of people. A good man lendeth. He didn't say nothing about a bad man. He just said a good man lendeth. Father, speak now. Have your way, Lord, in this service. Take the word of God and speak to the heart. Really needs help here tonight. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.